Well, Lent has begun. Perhaps it snuck up on you as it did, at least somewhat, as it did to me this year. It doesn't always. I'm usually a little bit more aware of this sort of thing, even though I didn't grow up with it. I grew up, as I'm sure I've mentioned before, in a tradition that didn't follow all the details of the church year, at least not, well, it didn't follow most of them, in fact. We had Christmas, of course, and we had Easter, because if you don't have those two and you're still a Christian church, I'm not quite sure what you're doing. But we didn't do the others. And so if I was aware of them, it was sort of something that other people did, and it was over there. And it wasn't until I got, well, first when I got into college and was studying church history and things, that I got a better understanding that other people did things differently, and it was just different. But it was after that, even, that I really moved into sort of the realities of the liturgical year and the rhythms that it provides and the benefits that it does on top of our more secular sort of conventional calendar. I will admit, the first time I had somebody put a cross made of ashes on my forehead, I thought it was a little odd. I enjoyed it. It wasn't freaky or anything. It was just unusual. I wasn't used to sort of an embodied spirituality really at all. And so, as I think of Lent, for me, it's a new thing. It's not, by the way, and I actually went and did some looking up because the dates and such had escaped me. But Irenaeus, who died in the year 203, so we're not quite sure when he wrote this, but somewhere in the 100s, was writing to Pope Saint Victor I about Lent, talking about how it might have been done and some questions that came up. And one of the phrases he used in there is he referred specifically to our forefathers. Which in this case, well, in all cases that we can determine when that phrase was used, writing about then, was talking about the original apostles, the 11 that were left after Judas Iscariot hanged himself, the 12 after Matthias joined, of course. So talking about the mechanics of Lent specifically referenced the apostles, a period of time before Easter Sunday that was set aside for particular things. Generally speaking, some kind of religious or spiritual observance involving giving things up or otherwise spending some time to push you to review what you believe and why. Obviously, it was regularized in 313 when Constantine made the church official, and it's been sort of been codified, it's been tweaked or tinkered with ever since. It's always involved some form of 40 days for all kinds of reasons, not least of which, picking up on Jesus' temptation of 40 days, the number 40 is a spiritually or religiously significant number throughout both the Old and the New Testament, so 40 days isn't surprising. Over a period of time, it became to represent the 40 days in Lent, not including Sundays, which is why, if you notice this, the title of this Sunday is, this is the first Sunday in Lent. We have the first Sunday of Advent, but this is the first Sunday in Lent, because the 40 days of Lent don't include Sundays. If you're in a particular kind of religious tradition, there's even a couple of feast days in there that it doesn't include as well. But for us, for our purposes, it began on Ash Wednesday and goes until Easter Sunday, but not including the Sundays in this period of time necessarily. But why am I telling you all this? Well, first of all, it's history, and I like history, and hopefully you've got something useful out of there. Not every Sunday you get a reference to both Irenaeus and Pope St. Victor I, who I didn't even know existed until I looked this up again. If I'd ever noticed, I'd certainly forgotten it. But what's Lent for us? Like I used to tell people, first of all, it is not the past tense of loan. It has nothing to do with that. What it is it's an opportunity for us to spend some time thinking about what we believe and why as we prepare for Easter Sunday, the best day of the year. Great days, whether it's your birthday or Christmas or whatever it is, are good just because they're there. But aren't they even better when you're in a position to get ready for them, to think about them a little bit? And so this helps us get ready for Easter Sunday. And one of the ways we do this is by, for many people, giving something up. Now, first of all, as I used to tell Bible college students, you are not allowed to give up a bad attitude for Lent. This is not a time to give up sin of any kind. That's just your life. You're supposed to be doing that already. Lent is when we give up something that we can legitimately enjoy. And we take this from the pattern of Jesus. And when Lyle read for us the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, what we see is the devil came and tempted Jesus three times. And he tempted Jesus with things that Jesus could actually have. There's nothing wrong with food. And Jesus, who left most of his divine prerogatives behind in the incarnation, could potentially have even turned these stones into bread and eaten them because he was hungry. There's nothing wrong with eating when you're hungry. It's actually a pretty good idea. It's part of being healthy. But Jesus chose not to for other reasons. Jesus could have all the kingdoms of the earth. In fact, he does. But he got them a different way, not that way. Jesus could have asked angels to come and protect him from all kinds of things, including the crucifixion, but he didn't for other purposes. Jesus was tempted not with things he couldn't have or with things that were evil or bad, but with things he could have, things that were good, and he said no for a higher purpose. Lent is about giving up things that you already have a right to have or you can have for a higher purpose. There's nothing wrong with drinking coffee. There's nothing wrong with the responsible consumption of alcohol. There's nothing wrong with having snacks after supper, the hardest Lenten observance I've ever done. When that Lent was over, I haven't done it since. There's nothing wrong with watching television. All of these things that other people give up or have given up or are considering giving them. By the way, Lent began on Ash Wednesday. And if you're thinking, well, that lets me off the hook because I haven't started already. No, you can start tomorrow. You can even start today. You don't have to take Sundays off in your Lenten observance, whatever it might be. It's just you can if you wish. So if you decide to give something up, well, what does that mean? This is not intended for you to be miserable about something you're losing. This isn't intended to make you feel hard done by. What it's intended to do is remind you that sometimes sacrifice is of value for something larger. I don't think Jesus enjoyed being hungry when he was in the wilderness. We know with beyond the slightest shadow of a doubt, he did not enjoy the crucifixion and what led up to it. But he went through these things for a higher purpose. If during Lent you decide you are not going to watch your favorite television show that happens on whenever it happens until Easter Sunday, and you'll pick it up again then. If you're not going to watch sports, if you're not going to eat chocolate, if whatever it is that you decide to do without, you need to remind yourself that you're doing it for a larger purpose. And that sense of loss, when ordinarily you would turn the television on or you would go and pour yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is intended to be a trigger of why are you doing this? And the other thing that this can do, particularly if you give up things that take up time, say watching a particular television show, is instead of just sitting there grinding away about how hard done by you are because you can't watch whatever it is, take that time and do something that aids this process. Perhaps you could come back to this reading in Luke once a week when that television show is on and read through it again slowly. Place yourself there. Imagine what it would be like. Perhaps what you might like to do at that time is phone somebody that you don't get in contact with enough. Someone who has brought life and goodness into your life. Because Lent isn't about making yourself miserable. That's not the goal. Sometimes it happens. If you give up something that you enjoy, there are going to be moments when you're unhappy about that, and that also is okay. Now, if you're someone who, for whatever reason, is unable to give up something or can't think of something to give up, that's also perfectly fine because one of the other ways you can observe Lent is by adding something in. And if you talk to an economist, they'll then give you this probably quite tedious lecture on opportunity cost and how if you choose to do this, it means you're choosing to not do that and all of that. But what we're going to focus more on is not what you've given up by this, but what is it that you would like to add? And there's a number of options there also. What I have done in a number of years, and in fact I'm doing again this year, is I add another devotional practice of some sort. This year it's a book written by Father Richard Rohr specifically about Lent. And I'm not giving up some other thing to make time for it, if you will. I'm not saying, okay, well if I do that I don't have to pray now, thank goodness. No, I'm adding it on top of that. I'm putting it into, so what it means for me is that I need to get up a few minutes earlier. So I guess I'm giving up some sleep. But the purpose isn't that. The purpose is to spend some more time guided by a wise spiritual directing force in my life. Richard Rohr has helped me in lots of different ways, and it's already helping me look at a number of things slightly differently, which is wonderful. You can do that as well. You can choose to perhaps read, perhaps you'll choose to, in that time that you might otherwise have spent watching television, or you might want to get up a little bit, maybe you'll choose to read your way through one of the Gospels. Pick any one of them. Mark's the shortest. John's the most interesting, if you ask me, but it's up to you. Perhaps you want to pick one of those and read your way through it. Don't read the whole thing every day. Maybe you read a chapter, maybe you read two verses. It doesn't matter. You work your way through that as part of your preparation for Lent. Not because every verse will direct you towards Lent, but every verse will remind you that you're in Lent because you have a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you're looking forward to celebrating Easter Sunday. There's no limit to what you can or can't do. And there's no requirement that you do any of these. There are some of our religious sisters and brothers who have raised this to a requirement, and it has become an onerous requirement that people are glad to get away from. That's not the goal. The intention is not to have this become an oppressive weight in your life. It should cost you something, because otherwise you won't notice. If, for example, I give up riding a motorcycle for Lent, that's not going to do me very much good. The weather might improve enough so one could ride a motorcycle, but I don't own one. So I'm not going to do that because it's silly. I'm going to give up perhaps a few minutes of sleep, but actually what I'm probably going to do is give up a few minutes that otherwise I would spend reading Twitter or something and spend it a little more productively. And as part of that, it will bring me closer to the God I serve. It will bring me closer to my understanding of Jesus. In a very real sense, Lent can be, and frequently is, a gift to you. One of the things that almost all of us will hear ourselves saying at some point is, I wish I had more time for something. Something positive, productive, valuable, that no one would ever dismiss as a foolish thing to want. Lent gives you an opportunity to think a little more carefully about what that thing might be and whether you can make room for it. Lent is an opportunity for you to, particularly in our community and in the larger spiritual community, to step away from something by stepping towards something that has more value. If you've been thinking, I wish I spent a little more time reading Scripture, then maybe that's God's gentle prod to you saying, for this Lent, set aside that time, whatever it is, to read Scripture a little bit more. If this is your first experience with Lent, I strongly recommend that you don't pick the biggest and most dramatic thing you can do. You're welcome to, but a huge life change is difficult to sustain and frequently just causes difficulty for you. For example, if you drink two or three pots of coffee a day, I wouldn't recommend giving up coffee for Lent. Because what you've also going to do is you're giving up the freedom from headaches for the first few days, at least that would be my guess, and you're probably going to be crabbier than you would be ordinarily, which isn't the goal, to inflict your crabbiness on other people. Maybe you should cut down on coffee, but that's another issue altogether. It's not a Lenten one. Pick something that, if you're going to give something up for Lent, pick something that you enjoy, something that is part of your life, that when you take it out, you will notice, but it won't dramatically transform your life, particularly not in a negative way. There may be times when you are called to do a significant thing. I have known people who have replicated the early days of fasting, which was you ate, or during Lent, was where you fasted to the point where you ate once a day. And you didn't eat meat. Sometimes you didn't eat fish. You're basically a vegetarian. 6 days a week, eating one meal a day for the period of Lent. That's a dramatic thing. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but think carefully before you make that level of commitment to something, when you can accomplish profound spiritual good in your life without going that big. And I don't want to discourage you from going big. Going big is wonderful. But don't feel that's the only way that you can observe Lent. The purpose of Lent for us is to help us spend a bit more time reflecting on what it means to be us, followers of Jesus. Why do we do what we do? It's good to spend some time thinking about that. Lent is hopefully going to get us that sense of momentum towards Easter Sunday, so it will be even more significant this year than it has been before. No one has to observe Lent in any particular way. But if you choose to, I think what you'll find is that you will have significant experiences that you wouldn't otherwise. Experiences that you will value and you will consider to be part of your spiritual growth, your growth towards God. So I would encourage you to do so. Start tomorrow. You can even start today if you like. If you didn't start on Ash Wednesday, that's okay. If you're really stuck for ideas, you can ask me after the service, send me an email, whatever you like. I've probably got something to at least get your thinking going. But I do encourage you to at least consider setting aside some time or giving up something, not just for the purpose of giving things up, but as an opportunity to be reminded on a daily basis through this period of Lent who you are in Jesus, who Jesus is, and what Easter means. I think you'll find it valuable. And if you don't, well, I'll make it up to you later, I suppose, somehow. But I would love to hear what you decide to do and how it goes for you. Amen.